Dwayne Sawyer resigns. Did the governor make a mistake in his selection of a state auditor? Joe Donnelly donates his shutdown salary. Indiana congressman criticized the nuclear deal with Iran and honors for two former governors. That plus the new Kokomo bypass, the game show senator, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending November 29, 2013.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised. AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, in a surprise move, State Auditor Dwayne Sawyer resigned effective December 15th. Sawyer is a Republican who was just appointed in August. In a short letter to the governor, he cited personal and family reasons for stepping down. Sawyer is also giving up on a 2014 campaign that was already being put in place. The governor said he respects Sawyer's privacy.
Was it a mistake to choose him?
Let me say I'm really grateful that he accepted appointment to this role. I'm just simply not going to discuss private conversations with Mr. Sawyer concerning this matter.
Who is hurt most by this resignation? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Dan Parker, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV Statehouse reporter Jim Scheller. Dan Parker, is this a big hit for the governor?
It's not a huge hit. It's not a silver bullet for our side, but I think it raises some serious questions. You want to take Mr. Sawyer at his word, give him the benefit of the doubt, but I think that it raises some serious questions about, the governor took 6 weeks to fill this vacancy. What kind of vetting job took place to find out whether, he was ready for this kind of role, and he was if he was ready for a 2014 campaign. So I think it raises some questions. What we don't know, given the fact that the governor wanted to respect privacy, probably raises more questions.
There are stories circulating, nothing that's confirmed, nothing that's been reported, and so we too, I feel, need to respect Dwayne Sawyer's privacy, but this does raise questions about how much they looked into his background and his life, doesn't it?
Look, anytime you make an appointment like this, you vet this thing the best you possibly can, and if there's something there that would cause somebody to resign if they didn't tell you that, and you didn't discover it, what are you going to do? I mean, it's one of those kinds of things. He said it's a personal matter, and I do respect that, and I'm sure we'll eventually find out what that is. Hardly these things are ever kept quiet for very long in this environment.
It always comes out.
Exactly, but he said it's personal, and I respect that. But as far as taking a hit goes, no, once a new appointee is selected, and you go into next year with an incumbent in place, this will be ancient history, and on the big political scheme of things, this is a nothing deal.
I don't think you can...
Go ahead.
I don't think
ahead.
You could say that it's a nothing deal. I think what we can say is that we don't know yet. I think the truth is that we don't know what... We haven't been able to say yet what the situation is. If it turns out that it was something in his past or something that was easy to find, then it does raise questions about what kind of job the governor's office did vetting. We don't know that yet, and so that's why I think it's too early to judge whether this reflects on the governor or
not. Would you say if there's nothing in there that has anything to do with what his job is and how he's done that job in 3 months, that that's a major factor in having you determine whether or not this is a big deal or not?
You mean whether it's financially related or not?
Yeah, I mean,
not?
Is it related to the job he did at all? The governor says
well,
it's
no,
not.
No, the governor said it isn't just about.
And if,
the
if there's nothing in there that somebody said to you, then how are you going to deal with that? I mean, you know, we've all been through this process before. And as I said, in the big scheme of things, over the long haul, going into next year, once you have an incumbent in place, which will probably be another 3 weeks or so, and your life will go on. And in the big political scheme of things, going into next year, this will be a nothing deal.
Here's something that might last. He was the first African-American Republican to hold statewide office. Reince Priebus, the national chairman, made a big deal out of this when the appointment was made. There's a big effort by Republicans to diversify the party. It's unlikely that he'll be replaced by a minority. Does this hurt Republican efforts to expand the tent?
Well, it could have that effect, and we'll have to wait and see who the appointee is from Governor Pence when it happens. But it is very unfortunate for him because he was clearly on an ascendant path as a candidate and as a politician, and it appears that one thing we do know for certain is that political career is done. And so whether or not it reflects on the current administration, whether it has a larger effect in the Republican Party at large in terms of recruiting and encompassing greater diversity, will remain to be seen. But the pressure definitely is on.
His career isn't over until we find out why.
He gave up a seat as president of the town council in Brownsburg to
true.
Take this.
That's
so
true.
It's a big setback at the very least.
I think that the governor getting into, to answer Mike's question about saying that it was no fiduciary responsibility to the office, that kind of put a question mark on, okay, then why? I mean, it was so quick and sudden and out of the blue that by saying that it didn't have anything to do with the office, it sort of made everyone say, okay, so why is he giving up
without, the without posing questions that we can't answer here today, here's something else that I'd like us to consider. The theory is that Tim Berry stepped down to become state Republican chairman, creating this vacancy so that they could appoint somebody who would run for election and therefore block Richard Murdoch from running for auditor in 2014. Does this open the door to Murdoch and or a Tea Party challenge to whomever the governor appoints?
Well, that was always your theory. That doesn't make it a real theory. It just makes it manufactured news. You know, it's one of those kinds of things. But look, this is one of those deals where, you know, this is a ancient history in about 2 months from now. Nobody's even going to think about this.
Unless the governor's choice gets beat
I just met with this guy 10 days ago. And we talked about the campaign. We talked about the future. We talked about what he needs to do to move forward as you get ready for the convention. So whatever this is, and I don't know what it is, but whatever this is, it's come up very suddenly. And so this is a surprise to a lot of people.
Where does the governor go to find a replacement?
We had a lot of candidates before. I mean, they
talked to a lot of people. Including people like Cecilia Coble, who's now running for a council seat in Fishers.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you can't change your mind and do something else. I mean, certainly I think she would be in the mix. I think there are others.
Tom Saunders is interested.
I think Tom Saunders would be in that mix. There are others that I would add to that list. In fact, we're speculating a lot of those names at lunch today about who that might be.
Give me one or two.
I could give you a half dozen, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want to hurt their chances.
but Michael, you have to admit that 4 months ago was plenty of time for a candidate to get in there and run.
Yeah, well,
running in a state convention is a lot different than running in a primary, and it's a difficult proposition to put somebody in.
Any other time, you would say, or you would say, that 6 months or 8 months is an eternity in politics, and it still is, and it is in this case.
Well, not
too.
For the convention.
Yes, it is.
I kind of agree with Mike. I mean, I don't think the timing here is that big of a deal. I mean, the Democrat that's been out there for very long.
Who is the Democrat that's out there?
Mike Clater.
He's the only
CPA ever run for this office. Yeah.
And he's been out working it, and he's worked in state government for most of his career. But tell me this, isn't the bigger risk to the Republicans in a convention than in November?
No, there's no doubt. I mean, the big race here is in the convention, and this does open it up.
And I do think that it is important for the governor and the rest of the Republicans to get a good candidate because they can't afford to miss this time.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week, we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, will the Duane Sawyer episode hurt GOP efforts to diversify? Your choices are A, yes, or B, no. Last week's question was, should the legislature insert itself in the education power struggle? 3% said to limit the powers of the superintendent. 32% said to expand powers of the superintendent. 7% said to make superintendent an appointed position. And 58% said stay out of it. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Senator Joe Donnelly visited 6 food banks prior to Thanksgiving this week. At each one, he made a $500 donation. In all, Donnelly gave $5,000 to 10 food banks in Indiana. It's his take-home pay from the 16-day federal government shutdown, money he refused to accept in a political gesture meant to show sympathy for families and businesses hurt by the stalemate. Mike McDaniel, did Donnelly steal the high ground from Republicans who forced the shutdown?
I love this one because this is a good distraction from everything that's happened regarding Obamacare and everything else. That's what this is all about.
And his vote for the nuclear option
sure
in the
is.
Senate.
Sure it is. I mean, this is all about.
Worked, didn't it?
This is, well, it worked for you, clearly. Because we're talking about it in the Indiana Weekend Review.
Talking point. Distraction.
But,
distraction.
No, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's, you know, a little shell game action. You know, yeah. Look, I commend him for giving the money back to the food banks. I think that's a good thing. I'd feel better about him if he didn't have to put out a news release saying that he did it. But he did it, and that's a good thing that they're doing that, especially this time of year. This is important. It's important for everybody to remember the lesson here. I will say this, Dan and Marshall Coates and what they're doing with the Indianapolis Children's Museum and Ronald McDonald House and that food bank, and it's a good message for all of us this time of year. A lot of people need our help, and it's important for us all to do that.
Old bromide, a lot of politicians follow. It's a poor dog that doesn't wag its own tail. I mean, if you're Joe Donnelly, you got to tell people you did this, right?
Well, I mean, he said he was going to come out and do this, and he did it, and he had to tell people he did it because, you know, as Michael knows, you have to accept those checks. But, I mean, this was a problem created by Congress, and Joe Donnelly did the right thing by you know, he was part of the solution on ending the shutdown, but this was a nice follow-up step.
Did he need to do this?
No, he didn't need to do it. I think he chose to do it, and he reaps the benefit all the way around. And I think what Mike said is right. It's a good thing to remember for all of us. And if he's setting an example, then more power to him.
What's he gain?
Well, it's great politics. I mean, first of all, anytime you've got your name out there associated with something like giving money to food banks, I mean, that's just fantastic. And frankly, I don't think it's great to be talking any more about the shutdown at all. But having said that, if you're going to turn lemon into lemonade, I mean, this is the best way to do it.
You know, if food banks were a favorite of Senator Richard Lugar, Donnelly taking over some territory there.
Boy, you are such a cynic. I hope you'll give an extra 3 cans of food this week because, you know.
I will.
You've got lumps of coal written all over you, pal.
He's the heir to that moderate middle.
I think it's part of the effort to take it over, isn't it?
Well, he could do a lot worse than modeling as a
Senator. That's exactly right.
2 Indiana Republicans are among those questioning a nuclear deal with Iran. The 6-month deal announced by the Obama administration this week reduces sanctions on Iran in exchange for the destruction of weapons-grade uranium and more inspections. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called it a historic mistake, and Congressman Luke Messer says his reaction is based in part on a meeting he had with Netanyahu in August.
think we all share the same goal. We all want to make sure we avoid Iran obtaining a nuclear bomb. I just think we disagree on the right path to get there.
We should be, you know, standing shoulder to shoulder with Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel right now and saying we want to make sure you're comfortable with any deal going forward.
Congressman Marlon Stutzman there, John Ketzenberger, should they be more supportive of the president?
Well, I guess I wouldn't expect them to be supportive per se in the sense that they'd be all rah-rah, but I do think you need to let something like this play out. This is clearly not the final outcome. This is an opening move in what's, you know, several steps down the road toward a more secure Middle East for everyone, including us in the United States. And so I think, give it some time before you start to tear it down.
The Obama administration pitch is that this is a first step that could lead to significant second and possibly third steps. I guess I'm interested. It's not just the Republicans in Congress who were critical of this. Some Democrats were, too.
Well, these are very complicated negotiations, complicated steps. I'm not sure that anybody would even claim that they knew exactly what the right way was to go. So I don't think that there's a surprise that there's some disagreement here and that there's some ongoing discussion about it. And so I would expect that to go on.
Senator Dan Coats is calling for close congressional oversight of this deal.
Well, yeah, so is Senator Lugar. I mean, Senator Lugar, who's known to have pretty good judgment regarding these kinds of things, said, you know, you need to give diplomacy a chance, but he's very skeptical about what Iran's going to do. And the problem with what they've done here is that, and the two congressmen who were quoted were right to criticize, look, you know, this is the first time the United States has actually sanctioned a nuclear program at all in Iran. And that's not a good thing at all. Second, the noose should have been tightened even tighter around them as far as sanctions were concerned, because it was working. The money that they were spending were going to Syria and Afghanistan and countries like that because they had no other place in the international community to go. That money is going to kill American who are over there fighting these various wars. So this is amazing to me that we're in this business of what I think is a step towards abandoning one of our most important allies, and that's Israel. And I think it's a terrible mistake, and I worry that we're getting into a distraction using international affairs again to get away from domestic problems. He wouldn't be the first to do that, clearly.
But that's something that may be going on.
If
he had fewer domestic problems and a higher approval rating, he'd be less likely to be criticized, too, right?
That's probably true, too.
Yeah.
That's a little bit over the top. But
In the meantime, gasoline prices are going down all of a sudden. Is that beside the point?
Well, they go up and down all the time anyway. Look, the last time Iran tried to come to the table was 10 years ago. There was 194 centrifuges in 2003. They have 19,000 now, okay? There's no good option when dealing with Iran. And no one's abandoning Israel, Michael. Come on.
Well, Israel thinks so.
The end result here is the same for everybody. Nobody wants a nuclear-armed Iran, but the question is, how do you get there? This is a first step. You give them 6 months, see what happens. Because you know what? Everyone knows where this could end up, and no one really wants to go there, which is the United States embroiled in another war in the Middle East.
Do you think Israel's happy about this step?
Well,
I don't think
Netanyahu. Well, you know what? I understand that, but you have to at least try diplomacy.
Okay.
Two former Indiana governors were honored this week. Ed Whitcomb and Joe Kernan are both former prisoners of war. They're now included in the Hoosier Patriot exhibit at the Indiana World War Museum. It honors those who had military careers and later served in state or national service.
It's, again, something that I would have never expected. Kind of like I would have never expected to be governor of Indiana. So
I feel like I'm a part of the relics of this museum.
Ed Whitcomb there, preceded by Joe Kernan, a Republican and a Democrat. Leslie Weidenbender, do we do enough for our veterans?
I don't think that you can really ever do enough to honor the people who have kept our country safe, and especially in the case of these two prisoners of war, you just can't do enough to thank them.
History may show that they weren't the most significant governors during their time, but they've led significant lives.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, the life of Governor Whitcomb is an incredible story, sailing around the world, by himself, and all of the other things that he's done. And Governor Kernan is an example for all of us when it comes to the kind of life that we should aspire to. So to honor them is only the start. And to build on what Leslie said, I think we should put foremost everything, because of the sacrifices that are made by people in the military, we should ensure that they get taken care of first, and that's too often not the case. And I think if you also want to start that on your own personal journey, I guess, the war memorial downtown is well worth the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To ward off the charge of cynicism over here, I've talked at length with Joe Kernan about his experiences as a prisoner of war, where they fed him nothing but pumpkin soup. He said he can't ever eat anything pumpkin again, and so you know, a lot of people having pumpkin pie this week, it kind of gives you a different take on things.
Well, something about mushrooms too he couldn't eat those as well. But I mean, great step here. I mean, to answer your question, no, we don't do enough. We should do more. The life of service for both gentlemen is something that should be held up for others to try to pursue.
Got to agree, right?
Two American heroes. I mean, two great stories. Great gentlemen, both of them. Good governors, both of them. Governor Whitcomb did a job that he had to do at a time when we needed fiscal restraint. He did that. You know, Joe Kernan really didn't have much of a chance to do much of an agenda of his own, but did a great job of stepping in some terrible circumstances.
That's right.
When the state needed that kind of leadership. So two great Indiana politicians, but more important, two great American heroes.
The state opened a new stretch of highway this week that will change the experience of driving from South Bend to Indianapolis or vice versa. It's a U.S. 31 bypass that will take you around the city of Kokomo so you can skip the 15 stoplights you've been driving through up until now. The original 31 goes through Kokomo and has now been renamed State Road 931. We talked to some people who work near the area, and they said they're happy this will wrap up as Christmas shopping begins.
People that I've talked to have actually avoided coming to the area just to avoid all the construction and not knowing what direction to go in. A lot of people are really excited about it opening, and I think we'll see a lot more business.
Mike McDaniel, would that road ever have been built if Pat Bauer was never Speaker of the Indiana House?
I'm sure the road got put on the books while Pat Bauer was Speaker, but it got built because of Mitch Daniels' Major Moves program. And look, this is critical to that part of the state. Anybody that goes north up Corridor 31, which is one of the most important trade routes in our state, this is very important. I think it's going to lead to some major economic development for that region because of it. And it's a wonderful thing. I can't wait to try it. I just went through there, unfortunately, last week and add an extra half hour to your trip.
You know, a 2.5 hour trip. And a half hour spent going through Kokomo.
But
right?
I can tell you this.
Part of it was Hamilton County.
Well, yeah. That's true. But I can tell you this, the McDonald's at Kokomo is going to lose a lot of business. I don't have to go through there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Never, again, don't have to stop. That's a stop for everybody.
But there's
and the one at US 6.
There's some folks up there who are worried that if they do business along the old corridor, that the business is going to move out.
Well, I mean, Michael knows this because he's studied. Only 20% of the traffic on the now old 31, 931, was through traffic.
Yeah.
80% of the traffic is local traffic. There's actually, the business owner's right. I've talked to a couple of people. I've spent some time up there that are actually happy because they know that some businesses that are on the old 31 are going to move out to the new one, and the local folks that are going back and forth. But it's more momentum for Kokomo, and they're doing a great job up there. Greg, good night.
Is this a more welcome stretch of road than I-69 to Evansville?
Oh, wow.
No.
That's, that's really, that's, as Mike would say, apples and dump trucks.
Yeah.
Because I-69 is part of the interstate process, and this is a handy way to get to South Bend and the toll road. But it is very important, I will grant that.
Yeah, it changes a lot of experiences in this state. I mean, it's going to take some traffic off I-65, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think it is always interesting to see what the ramifications of these kinds of moves are. There will be shifts in things that happen, and it's interesting to go back and look at those so that in the future when these decisions are made in other communities, you know what happens.
Well, the original, what we're denning now, was the bypass when it was built.
Right.
So.
Finally, earlier this year, we told you about the game show appearance of a prominent Democratic family from Indiana, the Shaheeds. Well, that game show, Family Feud, is bipartisan. This week, it featured Republican State Senator Brent Steele of Bedford, along with his three sons. They appeared in two episodes of the show, hosted by comedian Steve Harvey.
Let's go meet the Steele family. Hey, Aaron. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Can I tell you something? I love a group of well-dressed men.
Thank you.
And we have that.
Thank you.
I love facial hair on a man. And boy, y'all rocking it all, baby.
Steve Harvey there. Dan Parker, what kind of ratings do you think that show gets in Senator Steele's district?
Hopefully high.
Oh, you think that's a negative for
you? No, I mean, it's great that he was on, but I mean, need to advertise it a little bit more, Jim.
Would you advise politicians to do something like that?
I would, if you look as handsome as Senator Steele did, and I hope he remembers that when I appear before his committee.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Dan Parker, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. See you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised. AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.